wage movement for a couple of weeks now. I'm just going to give a brief overview of some new age beliefs and maybe give you just a few insights on how to refute those beliefs, okay? But don't get the idea that if you just rationally refute someone's false views, they're automatically going to become Christians, okay? You need to really pray for your friends, not just answer their objections and stand up for the truth and speak the truth in love, but you also need to pray continuously for them. Because unless the Holy Spirit chips away at hardened hearts, people are going to continue to stray further and further from the truth. So we're going to just talk about some common New Age beliefs today. Next week, since it's our 4th of July celebration and all, we're going to finish up one of the beliefs of the New Age movement, which is globalism. And we'll talk about why God is opposed to a one-world government. Right now you have both secular humanists, atheists, and New Agers proclaiming that a one-world government is the answer to all our problems and that we could bring peace to the planet Earth if we would just gather all the nations of the world into a one-world government and gather all the religions of the world into a one-world religion. This is going on, it's coming down in our midst, and many people in the church and outside the church are just looking the other way. So we'll talk about globalism, the New Age, and the atheistic push towards a one-world government. We'll talk about that next week. So let's take a look at some of the common New Age beliefs. The first one I want to talk about is pantheism, the idea that God is the universe. Now, pantheism stems from the belief called monism. Monism. Monism is the belief that all reality is one being. Okay? All reality is one being. And monists who decide to worship this one reality are called pantheists. So in other words, a monist says all reality is one being. A pantheist says yes, but this one being is God. And so God is all, God is everything. The next aspect of pantheism is very important for us, since they view God as everything, okay? They also view God as impersonal or non-personal, okay? Now, one of the problems we have in our thinking, we are so caught up in the world of the senses that we think that to be a person, you have to have a body, okay? That's not true, okay? Angelic beings don't have bodies. They can take bodily form, but Lucifer, a fallen angel, okay? He is a person, yet he doesn't have a body. God is three persons. He didn't have a body until God, the second person of the Trinity, became a man and added an entire human nature, which includes a human body. Okay? To be a person, see, this, when a person dies, when you physically die, your personhood continues. It just no longer operates in that body, in that outer tank. Okay? Being a person entails having an intellect, you know, a mind that knows things and has the ability to learn and to know things, an intellect, emotions, and a will, where you're a moral being. You know right from wrong and you can choose to do the right thing. All these are entailed in being personal. I'll give you an example of personal beings. The people in this room are personal beings. Okay? I'll give you an example of some things in this room that are non-personal. Okay? The screen, the PA cabinet, the wall, the door, the non-personal entities. Okay? So in New Age type thinking, God is the universe and God is impersonal. So God has more in common with a force like electricity, an invisible, unseen force
an invisible, unseen power, God has more in common with electricity than He does with the God of the Bible. Now take a look at Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says this: in the beginning, God... So in the beginning, God already was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth are biblical language for the universe. Okay? If you do a study on the word heavens in the Scriptures, you'll see that the Bible talks about the earth's atmosphere and the birds and the clouds as heaven, as the first heaven. The second heaven is the rest of the universe. And the third heaven is the throne room of God. Okay? So, in the beginning, only God existed, and God, this three-person God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, created the heavens and the earth, created the entire universe. So what you find there is that God is not, in the Scriptures, equated with the universe. Okay? God is separate from the universe, and God brought the universe into existence. Okay? Now, I don't want to get too far into this, but God did not create the universe ex deo, which basically means out of Himself, but instead He created the universe ex nihilo. He basically created the universe out of nothing. Okay? So somehow God, the all-powerful God, has the ability to create something totally out of nothing, and He did that when He created the universe. Okay? Now, we can bring up verses like Genesis 1:1. We can bring up John 3:16. I'm sure everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves the world. Are you loved by electricity? No. Okay, so the God of Star Wars, the Force be with you, you can never enter into a personal love relationship with that kind of God. Okay? With the God of Buddhism, the God of the New Age movement, the God of Hinduism. It's an impersonal force. But the God of the Bible says that He loves us. The God of the Bible communicates with us. Okay? This is a personal God. Okay? How many people know what it's like to feel lonely? Okay, I've been lonely. I've been alone. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, if we Christians live consistent with our beliefs, we're never alone. We could be exiled to an island, just dropped on an island where no other human beings live, and we'll still never be alone. Because the Lord Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a personal God. That's a personal God who loves us. Who can also make moral demands over us. The New Age God, you look in the mirror, you're looking at God. There's no such thing. If God is impersonal, if God is non-personal, there's no such thing as right and wrong. So each person decides for themselves what is right or wrong. But if God is a personal God, since He is the infinite, tri-personal God, He determines what is right and what is wrong, based upon His good nature, and we are answerable to Him. Okay? But let me just say that, suppose in the New Age you bring up passages like that that show that God is not the universe, instead God created the universe. And then you show that God is not non-personal or impersonal, but God is a personal God who loves us and makes moral commands, who we can have a relationship with. He shows to the New Ager. And suppose in this particular New Ager just says, well, I don't care what's in the Bible. Since I'm God, the voice from God within, I hold on a higher level than the Bible. So sometimes we need to argue against false beliefs even apart from the Bible. In other words, sometimes we have to give evidence even apart from the Bible, because some people just will not accept the Bible. And one of the interesting things that I'd like to point out to New Agers, a New Ager will say all reality is one being, one mind. Somehow they say that this one mind is a non-personal mind. I'll be totally honest with you, I don't know what a non-personal mind would be like. Okay? We have
mind, your person. But whatever the case, the all reality is one mind. Okay? So when a pantheist, when a New Ager is trying to convince you to embrace their New Age pantheism, okay, that is one mind trying to convince another mind that only one mind exists. See what I'm getting at? It's self-refuting. Right at the start. Right at the foundational belief. You know, I will say this. There are contradictions in Christendom. There are contradictions among professing Christians. You know why that is? Because professing Christians don't really understand God's Word. We pull certain passages out of context here and there, and certain of our doctrines are faulty, okay? But God is not contradictory. And God's Word is not contradictory. But when you find true Christians who have contradictions, it's on the outer level, okay? The essential doctrines that are very clear in God's Word, okay, so that all true believers agree upon it, there are no contradictions there. When you talk about every other belief system that I've ever examined, okay, every other worldview, at its core, on essential doctrines, doctrines that are essential to that particular worldview, that particular world, to the view of reality, you're going to find contradiction after contradiction after contradiction. And so, can we go to the Bible and prove these New Age beliefs false? You bet. At the same time, you can also just go to reason. So, you know, we get our word logic from the Greek word logos. And that's one of the titles of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then we're told the Word became flesh. The word for word is logos. We get our word logic from it. There's a sense where Jesus is the wisdom of God. Okay? He's a separate person from the Father, but sometimes he's given the title. Different titles in the Scriptures as the wisdom of God. Paul talks about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So basically, not only does God reveal things to us through His Word, but also through our reason, through our thinking, and through nature. The unfortunate thing is, we have so twisted and perverted God's teachings in nature that we would rather be unreasonable and hold contradictory beliefs, most people, than bow before God. Okay? And but basically, you can go to reason and show that the New Agers, that their views contradict themselves. Now, if God is the universe, then that also entails the doctrine of self-deification, where man makes himself out to be God and man believes that he is God. Now, all you have to do is go to Genesis 3 to see where this doctrine originated. Genesis 3, and it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" And of course, Eve fell, and then Adam fell after her. This is the lie of Satan in the garden. When you read the scriptures about Satan's fall in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, you see that Lucifer himself wanted to be like the Most High God. He wanted to be worshipped. Okay? So, this is not new. Okay? This is a newer form of an old belief system that goes all the way back to the serpent in the garden. The idea that you don't have to worship God because you are God. Okay? Or that somehow man is God, or man can become God.
This has infected not only Eastern thought, it's also infected Mormon doctrine, where Mormon males believe they become God someday. And now you have some hyper-Pentecostals, the Kenneth Copelands, Frederick Prices, Kenneth Hagins, Casey Treats, that believe that Christians are gods with a small g. Okay? That is not biblical. That is not biblical. That's Eastern New Age type thought creeping into the church itself. And so, this idea that man is God, you know, I said this over and over again. There's two things you learn in life. You know, these should be two of the first things you learn in life. Number one, there is a God. And number two, you are not Him. Okay? And New Agers just don't get it. And I lived the first 21 years of my life worshiping myself in one form or another. And failure after failure after failure, and finally I was brought to the point where I turned things over to the Lord Jesus. You know, the New Ager, New Ager was there when I debated Dr. Peter John at Lower Columbia College in the early 1990s, and this lady, she was one of their professors over there at Lower Columbia College. She was trying to convince me that I was God. And I said, ma'am, in all due respect to you and your views, I watch Monday Night Football. I can't even do what Bo Jackson does. I have limitations that Bo Jackson doesn't have. What makes you think you're going to convince me that I'm somehow infinite? Okay? And little did I know that even Bo Jackson, he was going to become aware of some limitations that he wasn't aware of at that time, when eventually he'd have to have his hip replaced. And it took him out of baseball and football. We're limited. We're not only limited, but we're fallen. Deep down inside, we know that we stand condemned before a holy God. And Satan wants to whisper in our ears, you know, man, there's your God. Your God. You don't have to bow down and worship God. You can worship yourself and do whatever you please. But deep down inside, within the hearts of all men and all women, we know that there is a God, and we're not Him. And we had better worship Him, and we had better look to Him for the way of salvation. And He showed us in His Word that His way of salvation is through His Son, who was slaughtered on the cross as a substitute sacrifice for our sins, so that through trusting in Jesus, we could be saved. This idea that man is God, it might be the cool thing to do as far as Shirley MacLaine or Oprah Winfrey or all the New Age leaders are concerned, but it is not of God. It is the lie of Satan in the garden. By the way, can't even pronounce the guy's name. He's from India. Sri Chinmoy. He basically he's one of chaplains. It has several chaplains at the United Nations building. So I'll keep the meditation room. And he's either the current chaplain, or he was one of the chaplains that they had. Let me see if I can give you a couple quotes, just so you can see what this guy is talking about. He says, wherever we are, God is. Okay? And this is from his book, God Is. And 95% of the time when he talks about what God is, you test it with the scriptures and you find out what he says God is not. Okay? He says this, God realization means self-discovery in the highest sense of the term. The conscious realization of your oneness with God. As long as you remain in ignorance, you will feel that God is somebody else who has infinite power, whereas you are the feeblest person on earth. But the moment you realize God, you come to know that you and God are absolutely one in both the inner and the outer life. God realization means your identification with your own absolutely highest self. Okay. So that's the kind of stuff that's going on in the United Nations. So that's the kind of religion that is being proclaimed over there. And so the self-deification, the idea that man is God, is a lie of Satan in the garden. The doctrine of reincarnation, you know, I think we're all familiar with that, the false teaching that after this life ends, your spirit, your soul gets reincarnated in a different body, okay, and it goes on and on, until eventually you escape the cycle of reincarnation. Some would call it nirvana, where you join the world soul and you're no longer part of this vicious cycle of reincarnation. First thing I'd like to say is, it's not biblical. Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed for man to die once, and then he comes to judgment. Okay? So number one, you know, you're not going to get a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a 1,000,000th chance. You got to get right with God right here and now. After you die, then comes the judgment. Okay? If reincarnation is true, why be mortal? I mean, if you're suffering, why should I help alleviate your suffering when now you have to be reincarnated again to work off that suffering? See, I'm holding back your attainment in nirvana if I alleviate your suffering, which explains why there's so much suffering going on in India today. And why the hospitals that are built there are either built by Christian missionaries or by Hindus who are Hindu in name only, who no longer believe in the traditional teachings of their society. And so there's really no incentive to do good. I mean, if there's somebody that you're tempted to hurt, you might think, well, if I hurt them, what's going to happen? I'll just be reincarnated, have to work off some extra negative karma. It's no big deal. I mean, it just slows down the reincarnation process. It doesn't, you know, there's no such thing as hell in this kind of thought. But whatever the case, not only is it not biblical and does it take away our incentive to be good, but it's also contradictory with New Age type thinking. Remember, in New Age type thinking, all reality is one. So there's only one world soul. Okay? New Agers and Hindus will say in their writings that the existence of individual souls is part of the illusion. So you don't have individual souls. But then, New Agers will also teach that the physical world is an illusion. So that means physical bodies are an illusion. See, what I'm getting at is the New Age movement teaches that physical bodies are illusions. They don't really exist. They're not ultimately real. And individual souls are illusions. They're not really real. Problem is, New Agers believe in reincarnation, and reincarnation makes no sense unless physical bodies are real and there are individual souls, because individual souls have to be reincarnated in physical bodies. So again, the New Age movement shows itself to be contradictory. And the idea that the physical world is an illusion, okay, it's not livable. If a New Ager tries to live consistent with his or her belief that the physical world is an illusion, they will starve to death. You have to eat physical food to stay alive. Okay? And, you just cannot live consistent with New Age beliefs. You would stop eating, and then the New Ager that's a vegetarian says, I don't eat meat because animals are God. Well, in their view, also dairy products and vegetation would be God as well. So they would stop eating altogether. And again, it's impossible to live consistently with New Age beliefs. The New Ager teaches that there's no absolute truth. Okay? Do you realize that there's no absolute truth? The statement God exists and the statement God does not exist would both be equally true and equally false. Really would be no such thing as categories of truth and falsehood. Okay? That's ludicrous. Not only can we not really communicate
without assuming the existence of absolute truth, things that are true for all people at all times and all places, we can't even think without assuming the truth of absolute truth. Okay? The statement, there is no absolute truth, what's wrong with that? It's self-refuting, because if it's the only way it could be true, if it's an absolute truth. So, if the statement, there is no absolute truth, is true, it would be an absolute truth, which means it has to be false. It's a self-refuting statement, a statement that needs no refutation outside of itself. The idea, the New Age belief, that there are no moral absolutes. What's right for me is right for me, doesn't have to be right for you, and vice versa. Okay? Let me tell you, New Agers say there's no such thing as right and wrong, but if you buy 5 acres of land and they find a spotted owl on it, they're going to fight for legislation. Well, the legislation is actually already on the books. You're not going to be able to build on that land. So, I mean, they're fighting. There's no such thing as right and wrong, but they fight for animal rights. They fight to protect the earth and their own foreplay. But by the way, all these fires, why do we see all these big, huge forest fires spreading all over hundreds and hundreds of acres? We see this time and time again on the news, and it was not something that we had seen before earlier in American history. I think one of the reasons is the fact that the New Age movement has attacked the lumber industry to the point where we no longer, very rarely are we importing wood now. Very rarely do we have the freedom to cut down wood anymore in this country. This is just small pockets where throughout the country where wood is being cut down. And if you're cutting down, let's say these five chairs here are forests of wood connected to each other, okay? If we cut down these trees, okay, now what are we going to do? We're going to move here, or we're going to go there and start cutting down those trees. And we just keep going until eventually those trees have grown back up. So we go back to them and we chop them down. And the guys in the lumber industry, they do not believe me. The New Agers are lying to you. The guys in the lumber industry do not want to cut down all the trees in America. Because if they do, they're out of work. They're just like the guys that own cows. They don't want to slaughter all the cows. They want their cows to reproduce quicker at a higher rate, faster rate than the rate that they're slaughtering cows for meat. Because, you know, they want to stay in business. And so, if this group of trees catches fire, it's going to spread to this group, and then to this group, but if this group has been cut down, the fire stops. And so we don't have as many gaps as we used to have. And so basically through God gave man dominion over the earth. God wants us to wisely use the earth and be faithful stewards of the gifts that he has given us. The New Age movement tells us to worship the earth. Look at the primitive religions. In both Africa and South and Central America, tribal religions, earth-worshipping religions, they turn their land into barren wilderness. Every generation, they have to move on and then destroy some other land. Okay? It is not being productive. But acknowledging the God, the Creator God, and acknowledging the creation as a gift to us, and us recognizing that we're accountable to God to use His gift wisely and with respect, that is the only way to productively use and maintain the planet Earth. So the New Ager says there's no absolute moral laws, but then they protest at the drop of a hat. Okay? If there's no such thing as right and wrong, why protest about anything? They cannot live consistently with the worldview. When you tell a New Ager, when you say, well, a particular action is a sin, what they tell us, the response to us, you could translate it as this. What they're saying is, you are morally wrong to call my actions or the actions of someone else morally wrong, because there is no such thing as moral wrongness. Okay? Again, if there's no such thing as right and wrong,
and stop complaining about Christians and Christian values. Now, does the Christian have the right to call people's actions sinful? Yeah, if the Bible calls it sin, if the Bible calls it wrong, then it's wrong. But we believe in moral absolutes. There are things that are right or wrong for all people at all times in all places. How self-refuting moral relativism is in the Humanist Manifesto number 2, there's one page where they basically say that all ethics are autonomous self, basically what they're saying is right and wrong is self-governed. Each person determines what is right or wrong for themselves. Just two paragraphs later, they then say that they believe in all forms of sexuality, all forms of sex between two consenting adults. Or between, they don't say two, but between consenting adults. There's a problem. Why are they saying between consenting adults? Because they're against rape, and they're against adults having sex with children. And that's great. I'm glad that they're against those things. But that means that ethics are not autonomous. That means that moral relativism is false. Now, where do they get these moral values from, these moral laws that condemn rape and incest and pedophilia? They get it from Christianity. They get it from the Bible. They won't admit it. So people will slam the moral values of the Bible, but then to make life livable on the planet Earth, they keep resurrecting God's moral laws. They still do not understand what Friedrich Nietzsche said. And Friedrich Nietzsche said, look, if God is dead, moral values have died with him. In other words, if we throw Christian God off the bridge, we can't go through his pockets and say, oh, absolute truth, we want that, moral values, I want that. And he said, you throw God off the bridge, everything he's got in his pockets go off with it. And so Nietzsche was a fairly consistent atheist and said, we don't even realize that we've detached the earth from its sun. And we don't even realize the consequences of a world, living in a world without God. And he predicted the 20th century would be the bloodiest century in the history of mankind because it was the atheistic man come of age. And he was exactly right on that particular point. So the idea that there are no absolute moral laws, you know, let me tell you, the most intolerant people on the planet Earth today are atheists and New Age promoters of tolerance. The moral relativists have said there's no such thing as right and wrong. We have to tolerate all religions. All religions lead to God. All religion is equally true. All beliefs are equally true. All behavior is equally wholesome. We have to tolerate all religions. Those are the people. The people that are shouting that the loudest are the people that want In God We Trust out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They're the ones that fought to get prayer out of the public schools. They're the ones who don't want Christians to have any say in the public arena. Okay? In the name of tolerance, we are getting a bunch of New Agers and atheists that are the most intolerant people in the history of mankind. And it is getting worse and worse. It is getting more and more vicious. And rather than the Christian church standing up to fight that, we keep writing more and more books to help us love ourselves more and to feel better about ourselves, and we're ignoring the real war that is going on, and we're losing this battle, and more people are jumping on the New Age bandwagon. And it spells persecution for Christians. Now, the good side of it is if persecution starts in this country in the near future, the Christian church grows in leaps and bounds during times of persecution. In third world countries and countries of suffering, the gospel is spreading at a much quicker rate than it is here. Here in America, Christianity is decay, in the state of decay. And so we just, you know, the more prosperous we are, the more likely we are to trust in ourselves and our own wisdom and our prosperity to get us through. When sufferings come, we turn to the Lord. We'll talk about globalism, the New Age view of globalism. The New Age doctrine of evolution, they had a little twist to this. And the New Agers believe that not only is mankind physically evolving, but eventually we're going to spiritually evolve to where we fully recognize our godhood. They believe that all religions lead to God, but what they call Christianity is a Christianity that has been transformed into a Hindu neo-pagan Christianity, which is no Christianity at all. And finally, they believe in a coming age of peace and enlightenment and a one-world religion, this new age of peace that's going to be ushered in. Okay, we're going to talk about that next week, because their idea of the coming new age and all religions uniting are directly related to their doctrine of a one-world government. It's all rolled up into one. And what we're going to see next week is that the Bible teaches that mankind, the problem is not nuclear weapons. The problem is not different nations. The problem is not different religions. The problem that is the cause of all wars is the heart of man. Our hearts are in rebellion against God. Okay? So as long as we're rebelling against the one true God, there's always going to be war. It's one of the necessary manifestations of sinful hearts. In other words, we will get peace on this planet when the Prince of Peace returns. Shepherds the nations with an iron rod. Until that point, if you have a government that gives you some semblance of your God-given rights, then you better hope that your government has a stronger military than some of the evil, ruthless regimes that are out there. But until the Lord Jesus returns, we will not have peace. Man-made peace is not a lasting peace. And the New Age belief in a coming age of peace and enlightenment through human wisdom is just another utopian pipe dream. And utopian pipe dreams always lead to the slaughters of the millions. And now, because technology has grown to such an extent, I believe the utopian dreams of the 21st century will lead to the slaughter of billions. And the only thing that is going to break that vicious chain is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the planet Earth, when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords returns to shepherd the nations with an iron rod. Some people are trusting in the supposed deity of mankind. We should trust in the Lord Jesus, the true God, who will come back and shepherd the nations with an iron rod. The New Age movement is nothing but lies, the same old lies in the garden, from the serpent. Only in the Bible and God's Word and in the one true God and what He has revealed to us can mankind find truth, the truth that sets us free. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we thank You, Lord, that You have given us Your Son, and that He died on the cross for our sins to provide salvation for us. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us Your Word so that we could study Your Word and we would not fall prey to the lies of Satan, and that through studying Your Word, we can know more and more of Your truth, and that could equip us to lead others to Christ and to answer their objections and to remove stumbling blocks that keep them from accepting Your Son. And so I pray, Lord, that You would remind us that we are Your ambassadors. We are Your representatives on this planet to the human race. And that we must stand up and shine forth the light of Your Son and His salvation in the midst of the darkness, the horrible darkness of neo-paganism and the New Age movement. There's a shadow that is covering our land and covering the world today. So I pray, Lord, that You would equip us for the work that lies ahead. Not only equip us to be good Christians and good fathers and good sons and good wives or whatever You may call us to be, I pray that You would also call us to be faithful ambassadors, faithful representatives of Your Son and the good news that salvation comes only through Jesus. So that we would stand firm in the faith and proclaim Your truth in the midst of the darkness of this world. Lord, I pray that we would gather in Your name and proclaim the name of your Son until he returns in power and glory as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and begins his reign, the kingdom of God, as he reigns upon the earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.